You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll check out the cold blast that's beginning to ease up here in Wisconsin, but still pummeling other areas of the country. First, it's our winter member drive. Keely Boltina is with us. Your support is the foundation of funding for all Wisconsin public radio programs. It's the largest piece. It's what makes the Ideas Network your go-to place for great conversations. We're here to encourage you to make your gift right now in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, this member drive is off to a great start. Last hour, we had 29 people who gave. That is incredible. Thank you so much if you contributed last hour. But also, it's a new hour. It's a new goal. We have a goal of 20 gifts now.
These hourly goals are important. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussion going strong here on the Ideas Network. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A large slice of funding for WPR programs. Okay, it's the biggest slice of funding for WPR programs is listener support. So while all of our funding sources like state and federal governments and businesses are important, it's your contribution that makes a huge difference. WPR is the amazing and varied service that it is thanks to you. Keep independent, high-quality programs on the air when you give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's $10 Tuesday. Support the programs you love in style with the new WPR t-shirt with your gift of $10 a month or more. This comfy heather gray tee features Wisconsin state symbols in the night sky. Ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Special offer only available today. Tomorrow it goes up to $12 a month.
Every time you listen to WPR, you learn something new. Whether that's about the news of the day or it's a personal anecdote or a history of pop culture, there's always something that sparks your interest.
Listening to WPR reminds you that life is fascinating and learning and exploring makes life richer. That engagement you feel with when you listen, that is worth something. It's worth your support. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR is probably a preset on your home radio or your car, maybe your home and your car. Maybe you've got the app right on the home screen on your phone. You listen to WPR a lot. Help pay for the station you enjoy so much. Become a member today.
Make the switch from someone who listens to someone who still listens and contributes. You can start with a gift of 10 or 20 bucks a month right now at WPR.org or with a call at 888-202-2552.
We've got 50 minutes left this hour. We're not looking for that many more people to join in. We're looking for 20. You can be one of them. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can support the programs you value and ask for the new WPR t-shirt. Ask for it with your gift of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. That special offer, $10 a month or more, available today, only today. Tomorrow it goes up to $12 a month.
There's another opportunity here, too. If you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's super easy to set up. You make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. You don't have to think about it. You always know that your support is current. You can do that at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and provide reliable support for these programs that you love.
Wendy in Winneconne says, I enjoy listening to WPR and the great variety of shows. And Chloe in Madison says, WPR has even-handed, non-dramatic reporting and stories that no one else has. Thank you, Chloe. Thank you so much. Wendy, how about you?
Yeah, now is the time. 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. If you've never given before, now is the time. Become that listener who also gives. Join us right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're rolling now. We've got our first couple of gifts for the hour. Thank you so much. If that was you, appreciate it. If not, if you haven't given yet on this day one of our winter member drive, let's get it done. Make your gift right now. You count on us for great conversations each and every day here on the Ideas Network. We count on you to help pay for it. Make your gift. right now at WPR.org or give us a call at 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. This is Central Time. The temperatures are starting to let up now a little bit, but for a while there, it seemed like the cold stretch was set to maybe break records in parts of Wisconsin. For fun, people were freezing their pants in a standing up position and posing them for funny photos. So it's been that kind of cold. Some areas of the state are still dealing with snow. Snowfall totals in southeast Wisconsin between yesterday and today hit the double digits. Meanwhile, winter weather hit a lot of parts of the country that are not used to it. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What's the weather like in your neck of the woods? How are you dealing with it? How's your community dealing with it? If you're listening from out of the state and you're hit hard in a place that usually doesn't see this kind of cold and snow, love to hear from you and how you're doing. 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Tim Halbach is the Warning Coordination Meteorologist at the National Weather Service Milwaukee office. Tim, welcome back to Central Time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I think people might be donating to some sort of weather fund to try to change this weather pattern up a little bit here.
I wouldn't mind. I might donate to something like that. Now, Tim, is this all a story of we hear about it? I think at some point everyone, which are the polar vortex?
Yeah, so that phenomenon's always there. It got some publicity back in 2014 when I think it got in the media a little bit. But it's basically a circulation that we have that's always up at the North Pole. And there's times where that thing gets kicked around a little bit. And when you get it to get off its axis and get a little bit south, that's where we get a lot of our cold surges from. And that's kind of what you're seeing this time. There's a part of it that broke south. And as you've been seeing in the news and around the United States, there's been quite a good surge of it going all the way down to the Gulf Coast. So it's something that is always around. It gets a little bit broader during the winter time just because of the cold that can build up there. But typically any of our big cold outbreaks are associated from when that surges southward.
What is it that makes the vortex, which, as you say, is always there, break loose more so one year or one part of a year than another? Do we know what the mechanism is that that shakes it up?
So you'll actually get some sort of warming on one side of it that gets it amplified. So if you ever are watching, the weather reports where they talk about the jet stream, when the jet stream is pretty flat and level, you don't really get a whole lot of terrible weather with it, just maybe some fast moving systems. But when it gets a little bit more amplified, where you get it to kind of sink to the south and it looks like it's got more kind of curves and bends to it, you get some more amplified weather systems. And when something like that happens, you can get some of these cold outbreaks where things get pulled down. So that's kind of what is happening with the polar vortex right now, where this chunk of cold air that's normally sitting right over the North Pole, all of a sudden gets kind of broken loose or starts getting a little bit wavy. It worked its way around, and you'll get parts of it that go over into Europe and Asia, and they'll have some cold weather over there. But for sometimes, if that chunk of cold air can get further south, then it ends up in our area. So we watch for it. It's something that we've always watched for with our forecasts when we're trying to see where this cold air is originating from. Always it's typically from one of those events where it breaks loose like that.
Now, we've had this long stretch of really quite cold weather here in Wisconsin. I was looking at some of the reporting on this. This is not unprecedented. We've seen this kind of thing in the past, but this isn't something, the duration of this cold weather is not something we see all the time. So where does it fit? How out there is this last, 2 weeks now?
Yeah, and that's, for this winter, actually, as a whole, we're even with this past couple of weeks of cold weather, our temperatures across the state have actually been fairly normal, actually in the northern part of the state, a little bit above normal still. So it's something that, in the record books, in terms of the longevity of it, normally you'll get this cold and maybe it's for like a day or two, even back in the January to February of 2019, where we had think 2 or 3 days straight where the wind chills were in the negative 50s. That was only a few days. This has been for about 2 weeks straight, and it's just been a pattern that we've been stuck in where we've had that cold air in place, and you keep getting these reinforcing shots of cold air coming in. And that's another reason why you're seeing it so far to the south, getting down to even the Gulf of Mexico with this. So in terms of our record books, you know, I don't think we've broken too many records. Maybe, you know, there's a streak for longevity and being below 10 degrees or 0 degrees, but not too many records in our area. Same can't be said for further south, though.
Talking to Tim Halbach, warning coordination meteorologist at the National Weather Service's Milwaukee office. We're talking about our cold snap in Wisconsin and some of those other places, the extreme winter hitting other states that don't usually get this kind of cold and snow. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you like me? You know, it's Wisconsin. You don't mind a little bit of cold, but this is getting a little thick. If you're listening outside of Wisconsin and a part of the country that got hit hard this week, tell us how things are going for you. We're pulling for you down there. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about our cold weather streak we've been having here in Wisconsin and what's going on around the country with Tim Halbach, warning coordination meteorologist at the National Weather Service's Milwaukee office. You can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234 on this cold weather. Your questions about how the weather is working. 800-642-1234 is the number. Let's bring on a caller now. Tom says he is backpacking here in Wisconsin. Tom, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
All right. How is it out there, man?
It's fantastic. Years ago, I seen a sleeping bag that was 10 below, and 20 years ago, and now I've been camping the coldest weather the state's got to offer. The longer, the better. I've been out here for 3 days. My longest is 25 out of 28 days. I just can't get enough of it. I don't know what's the matter with me. I'm sitting here with my feet up next to the fire. I'm going to have steak on a stick tonight.
Sounds great. I'll join you for steak on a stick by the fire in a couple months. Tom, thank you so much. Best to you out there backpacking. Well, Tim, that's not for everybody. Talk about the precautions. This is, if we're not careful, like it sounds like Tom is, this is weather we have to take seriously, right?
Yeah, it's mainly with any like exposed skin, you know, your head, ears, any of the extremities, you know, wearing a mask. Actually, it's kind of nice right now. If you're outside, it kind of helps keep your face a little bit warmer. But the long exposure, obviously people that know if they're outside a lot, that's a key thing to just make sure that you're covered up and all that. And some of the times where we've seen that there's been people that have been injured or maybe, you know, have issues, it's when they maybe go outside and they think they're just going to briefly be outside, like going out to get the mail or something like that, and they slip and fall and get knocked out or something like that and end up being outside for longer than they're expecting to. So, you know, maybe in these extreme cold temperatures, if you're going out to check that mail, make sure that you've got your hat and you're dressed up for just even if it's a short trip like that.
Tom, thanks a lot for the call. Enjoy the weather. Glad you're listening to us out there. So, Tim, let's look at states. Now, Texas getting hit hard, and I know sometimes it's like, oh, we're in the Midwest, oh, it's not so bad down there. This is a big deal going on there. I mean, coal power plants, natural gas plants are being shut offline by the cold. Can you talk about what a big deal the kind of cold and snow they're having is doing for states that, you know, don't have the infrastructure in place for like states do that deal with it every year?
Yeah, it's a big issue. If you even just going like from St. Louis southward, those places, you know, if they get a snowstorm or something like that, they're not spending, you know, budgets on, you know, having a mound of salt on the other outside of town to be able to lay down when after the snow comes through. So they're just not built for it. And when it's a prolonged thing like this, it can be really impactful. So, you know, it's easy to make jokes like, oh, it must be nice to be in the 30s in Florida. I think Florida might actually be one of the only spots in the United States where it's warm right now. But I've got friends that are down in Texas that have been posting stuff about, you know, their power's been out for a long time and their temperature is about the same as what we have here. We're actually warmer right now that we're in the teens than what Oklahoma City is right now. So the places that aren't as used to it or have that infrastructure, it's going to be a bigger deal to them.
Let's look to the future a little bit now, Tim. For those states, the Texases and Oklahomas, are things going to warm up for them, hopefully, pretty soon?
Well, there's actually another winter storm that's going to be going through. And there's, depending on where you're at, more snow and actually pretty good bit of freezing rain that's going to turn into ice, I think, as you get closer to the Appalachians. So that's it's another knock for that for them down there. So anything that falls at this point, it's not good. But you're hopeful that the one good thing is that it looks like we are going to be in a slightly modifying warming trend going through next week. So hopefully that'll lift up and help the melting process.
All right. Well, best again to anyone down there listening. Hope things clear up for you safely soon. Now let's look, Tim, at our weather here in Wisconsin. What are we watching for over the next handful of days? And please say it's going to get warmer.
It's going to get warmer.
Yay. That's all I'm asking for.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing right now, the sun angle is good and our minutes by the day are increasing. So our normal highs and lows are going up and looking like we're into the 20s at least through the rest of this week and actually above normal, maybe going into next week where we're in the mid to upper 30s, maybe even crossing the 40 mark in a few spots. But I don't want to promise anything higher than that at this point. Everything is, 20s are going to feel warm for a lot of people going into this next week.
All right, now reaching into the longer term forecast, do we have projections on what kind of spring we might have? And I emphasize the word might. I know it's hard to lock down this early on.
Yeah, the trends are, I think, a little bit higher for the higher chances of having above normal temperatures going into the spring. But, you could have one week where it's nice and warm and the next week would potentially snow. So I've lived here long enough that going into April, you can't let your guard down until you're maybe past April for some snow. And I know people hate to hear that, but I've seen it enough the past couple of years.
I do my civic duty. I leave that snow shovel out till well into May because I know once I bring it in, it'll snow again.
Yeah, and I don't change my winter tires until I think May or mid-May, something like that. Yep.
Tim, thanks a lot for joining us again today.
No problem. Thanks, Rob.
Tim Halbach is the Warning Coordination Meteorologist at the National Weather Service's Milwaukee office. He talked with us today about the cold that's been hitting Wisconsin for quite a while now and where the weather is headed, plus a look at states that don't usually get this kind of weather, getting it and lots of it. Coming up after the news, Western Wisconsin led the nation in farm bankruptcies last year, while Eastern Wisconsin came in fourth. We'll take a look at the numbers, the options to help dairy farmers recover, and why a bankruptcy filing may not mean that the farm is actually going out of business. Right now, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. Keely Boltina is with me. Your gift makes a huge difference because listeners are the largest source of funding for all of our Wisconsin Public Radio programs. Step up now and be counted as a supporter with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have 35 minutes left this hour, and we're looking for 14 more people to join in to show your support for Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift right now is so crucial because when you give, you support the programs you rely on every day.
Thank you so much if you've already given. If not, why not do it now? Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
In this last conversation, we heard about the weather. It's what a lot of people are talking about. But it struck me because it's about us, but it's about other people, too. That's the kind of conversation that happens here on Central Time. It's relevant to our lives, but it also comes with this context because we're not isolated and we care about other people. I mean, these are the kinds of conversations you can count on from Central Time.
Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported, and that means that your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
Make your donation even easier when you become a sustainer. Choose an amount that's right for you, say $10 or $20 a month, and then have it charged from your bank account or your credit card.
When you're a sustainer, your monthly gift will continue year after year, so your support is always current. Start your ongoing monthly gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It is a powerful way to support the WPR programs that you love.
If you've ever sat in your car to hear the end of a conversation here, you've experienced what we like to call a driveway moment. And chances are, despite the cold, you've had one recently.
Support your source for radio so compelling that you don't want to miss a word. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. If you're driving right now, be safe. Pull over or wait till you get where you're going to make your gift.
Good point, Rob. Once in a while, you actually get more than you pay for. WPR is one place where that is true every day. Consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs that you love.
It's hard to buy a lot for $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of news, talk, and music possible. That works out to $60 a month. You can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When 14 more people support WPR programs in the next 31 minutes, we meet our goal. WPR is listener powered. That's why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
It is day one of this member drive and a special offer today. The lovely 2021 WPR t-shirt, USA made, printed here in the state. If you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and ask for your t-shirt, you'll get it for that $10 a month that's available only today. Tomorrow it goes up to $12 a month.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, we want to say thank you. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month or whatever amount you choose. Do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Nancy in La Crosse says WPR is my favorite station for learning and enjoyment. I also love it on driving trips. Thank you, Nancy, for your gift. How about you? Join the thousands and thousands of people who support Wisconsin Public Radio with your gift right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Western Wisconsin once again leads the nation in farm bankruptcies, but that doesn't mean all those farms are closing down. We'll talk about why and look at how farm bankruptcy laws work. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. Keely Baltina joins me. You rely on the Ideas Network for informative, interesting discussions, and we rely on you to keep programs like Central Time going strong.
Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. That's why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
We are looking for 11 more people to join in by the end of this hour. Thank you so much if you've already given.
And if you haven't, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds these programs you enjoy.
You know you can get headlines and sound bites just about anywhere, but where do you go for in-depth discussion?
I know. It's the Ideas Network. Here you don't just get those like 20-second clips or a few minutes of back and forth. You get plenty of time to develop ideas and to ask your questions. WPR is a great source of in-depth information. Your support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes that possible.
Think about what you spend money on every day. Coffee or takeout, that adds up. It's easy to spend on things that are part of your routine.
Wisconsin Public Radio is part of your routine, too. It's your news source, your conversation starter. It's your place to learn. So spend some money on it today. Start with a dollar a day. That's $30 a month. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This member drive supports the programs you love in style with the new WPR t-shirt. This super comfy heather gray t-shirt features Wisconsin state symbols in the night sky.
and they're depicted as constellations in the night sky. I think these are really fun.
With art in the center that represent the various state symbols, also depicted as constellations. It's a great-looking T-shirt that'll get a lot of comments.
The new WPR T-shirt is only available for $10 a month today, $10 Tuesday. So ask for yours when you give now. Here's how.
Do that at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your gift. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret here with Keeley Boltina. Your support during this winter member drive makes the WPR programs you count on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, really does make a difference.
Giving to WPR is easy. That's one of the best parts of this. This is not a difficult thing. All we need is your name, contact information, the amount of your gift, and how you want to pay.
Takes just a few minutes to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. Those few minutes fund your daily listening. Your support right now really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your gift right now says something, too. It says, I value this program. I want more of it. It makes me think. It makes me laugh. You fill in the blank with how you feel when you hear Central Time. Those are real feelings, and you make a powerful statement when you support what you value, what you believe in. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Looking for 11 more gifts by the end of this hour, and you make Wisconsin Public Radio possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can support the programs you value, and you can ask for the new WPR T-shirt. It's one of our favorite things to talk about today. You can ask for yours with a gift of $10 a month or more. Do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. That special offer is only available today. Tomorrow, if you want the WPR T-shirt, it goes up to $12 a month.
If you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up. To make ongoing monthly donations from a bank account or your credit card, do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to provide reliable support for the programs you love.
Liz in Madison says, good, solid journalism is essential in our country, and WPR provides that here in Wisconsin. I'm thankful for the important work you're doing. Thanks, Liz.
Thank you so much. How about you? Make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks for your support. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. According to new data, Wisconsin dairy farmers are continuing to struggle financially. Federal court records show that Western Wisconsin led the nation in new farm bankruptcies in 2020. The eastern half of the state came in fourth behind Kansas and Nebraska. Western Wisconsin also led the nation in 2017. Farmers, especially on small farms, have been struggling since milk prices plummeted in 2015. This time around, they had to contend with the pandemic as well. Hope Kerwin is a Wisconsin Public Radio reporter based in La Crosse. Hope, welcome back to the show.
Happy to be here.
Let's talk about this data a little bit. You're there in Western Wisconsin, the center of this story. Hope, what can you tell us about the makeup of the region and the dairy farms there?
Yeah, so I think the first thing to keep in mind is when we're talking about the Western District of Wisconsin, we're actually talking about the U.S. Court District that is called the Western District of Wisconsin. So that's 44 counties in the state, and it makes up more than half of the state geographically. So it's kind of, you know, everything from Dane County, Marathon County, all the way up to Vilas County and west of that. So obviously, you know, this is a lot more of the kind of rural parts of the state, you know, being that our urban centers tend to be on the eastern side of the state. And so it's no surprise that it also kind of encompasses many more smaller farms or kind of like traditional size farms versus the largest of farms, especially in the dairy industry, tend to be on in the kind of eastern side of the state.
Now, the bankruptcies we're talking about, they don't necessarily mean the farms are going to go out of business. We're going to talk to our next guest about that. But it does point toward challenges facing dairy farmers in that part of the state. Can you talk about some of the things we're seeing there that's putting a lot of dairy farmers in a tough position?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing that is putting farms in a tough position is that they have just accumulated a lot of debt after five-ish years of low milk prices. We saw milk prices first fall after you know, reaching highs in 2014, they fell in 2015, and, you know, kind of continued to just drag out for an extended period of time that, you know, many people have agreed it was very unusual for the kind of price cycle that we tend to see in agriculture. So when we had this kind of extended period of low prices, that meant farms were you know, taking on a lot of debt to continue operating. And that has just left them in a more difficult financial position. And maybe the reason why we're seeing more farms seeking out a Chapter 12 bankruptcy, which is what we're talking about. It's a bankruptcy code that's specific to farms that allows them basically to restructure. And I'm sure you guys are going to be getting into more of that.
And 39 of this kind of bankruptcy filing in the Western District in 2020. How does that stack up to previous years?
Yeah, so it's actually slightly lower than what we saw in 2019, when the Western District had 42 new filings of cases. That was, again, the highest in the nation. In 2018, we were about 33 filings that we came in number two. And 2017, when we first kind of hit number one in the nation, and when I first started following this story, that we were about 28 filings. So you can just see we've kind of, that number has just continued to grow over the last few years.
Now, these are farmers filing this kind of bankruptcy, hoping to stay in business. I know we've heard from farmers who have left farming completely or gotten out of dairy or cut back on dairy. Just from how you're watching this over the years, Hope, how is this affecting the rural economy in that part of the state?
I think many people are looking at this issue of how the transition of farms, either from dairy or even out of farming in general, to, you know, kind of watching the consolidation within the agriculture industry. This is something that a lot of people are paying attention to, because we know that farms tend to spend their money locally, whether it's, you know, seed companies or machinery dealerships, you know, these sorts of things. You know, we tend to see that dollar kind of spent within the local economies. And so I know in talking with a lot of people who look at rural communities, you know, this is definitely an issue that we don't know what the impact will be, but we do know that as, you know, more farms go out of business, it is changing kind of the structure of rural economies.
Hope, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thank you.
That's Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio reporter based in La Crosse. We talked to her about her reporting on farm bankruptcies in Wisconsin. The western half of the state led the nation among regions with 39 new bankruptcy filings last year. Eastern Wisconsin, fourth with 30. Now we're going to take a closer look at why these bankruptcies are happening and how this kind of farm bankruptcy works. Roger McCohen is a professor of agricultural law and taxation at Washburn University's School of Law in Topeka, Kansas. He helped write the current bankruptcy laws for farms. Roger, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, good to be with you, Rob. My pleasure.
Can you tell us how this Chapter 12 bankruptcy works for, say, a dairy farmer in Wisconsin? It doesn't mean they're looking necessarily to get out of business, right?
No, that's exactly right. And that's precisely correct what Hope said. Chapter 12 is a reorganization section of the bankruptcy code. So your purpose in filing Chapter 12 is to reorganize your debts among your creditors and work out a plan over 3 to 5 years, a reorganization plan under which you're going to pay off those debts over a period of time. So you're trying to just simply reorganize, perhaps downsize, sell off some assets, totally reorganize the business and stay in business. And that's the reason Chapter 12 was enacted during the height of the farm debt crisis in the 1980s, where things were really bad. If filings are at 42 now, I bet if you went back and looked in, I didn't pull the data, but in 1980s, it was substantially higher than 42, probably by a factor of anywhere 8 to 10. So that kind of puts it in perspective. Yes, it's difficult for Wisconsin dairy farmers, but we still are not as nearly bad off as many farms and ranches were in the 1980s.
Well, we've got a few decades of track record on this kind of bankruptcy filing designed in large part with farmers in mind. How have we seen it work?
Well, what happens is a farmer, usually pressed by a creditor, will try to satisfy that creditor initially by selling assets. And if that doesn't work, then they're usually backed into a corner. They can't be involuntarily put in a Chapter 12, but they will file a Chapter 12 in an attempt to satisfy their creditors and stave them off. And so they have to, you know, you want to get good bankruptcy, legal, and tax counsel, and that the tax aspect is important of this because of the law change in 2005. But what you'll do is you put schedule of assets and liabilities together, and you come up with a plan based on projected yields of its crops, projected amount of milk that you're going to be able to produce, what your input costs, what your expenses are going to be, and what your living expenses are going to be. And then there's a bankruptcy trustee that's appointed that oversees all of this, and you present your plan to the court, and creditors may object to it. And ultimately, it's up to the judge to determine whether you have put together a feasible plan that can be paid off over the proposed length of time.
I could see this working for one rough year where prices were low and I couldn't keep up with, say, my debt payments on machinery on a dairy farm, say. 5 years, though, of low dairy prices. Can even something like this special bankruptcy option for farmers deal with like a structural problem like that?
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. Your eligibility for Chapter 12, a farmer has to meet several hurdles and tests to be able to file a Chapter 12. One of those, obviously, is they have to meet the definition of a family farmer. That test is only done at the time that the petition is filed. What that means then is you can supplement the farm income with, say, a spouse's off-farm income after the petition has been filed and include that off-farm income in your bankruptcy income schedules. So not all of the income has to come from the farm. And in fact, many farming operations that restructure will have off-farm income to help. And that can be very, very beneficial. You only have to meet the definition of a farmer at the time you file. You don't have to meet your plan payments with farm income. And that's something that a lot of people don't necessarily understand at first blush, but that's an important aspect of Chapter 12.
And you mentioned you have to qualify as a family farmer, and that can mean a lot of different things. I think people might picture a pretty small operation, but a family can own hundreds of head of livestock, for example. Is size an issue here, or is it just the ownership structure?
It's the ownership structure, and it's how much a percentage of your income comes from farming and what the percentage of your debt is that's related to farm assets and farming. So you have to meet a debt test, you have to meet an income test, and that's how we define what a family farmer is. Now, if we're in an entity structure, then it's percentage ownership. We have to have majority of the owners be family members of a certain relation. So once you clear those hurdles and you have less than now $10 million worth of debt in total, you'll be eligible to file Chapter 12 and restructure your debt under the provisions of Chapter 12. And one of the big things that we were able to get amended in 2005 was a special rule that moves IRS and state and local government tax claims to unsecured creditor status. We move them to the back of the line. Now, what happened in the 80s before this was changed proved to be a problem. This is why we were successful in getting this through the Congress. And that was a farmer that was trying to stay afloat would sell off assets, but in doing so, it would trigger a bunch of tax, not just capital gain, but recaptured depreciation. And the IRS used to have first priority position, meaning you couldn't pay any of your other creditors before you paid the IRS in full. And there were a lot of farmers in the 80s and through the 90s that couldn't do that. And then they got changed to a Chapter 7 and liquidated. Now, a major aspect of Chapter 12 is that the IRS has been moved to the back of the line. And you may not have, they have a priority claim, but it's a sub-priority claim. It's behind other creditors. And they may indeed not get paid in full. And that is a big relief for a lot of farmers as a result of the 2005 law change.
As you mentioned, this 80s era inspired legislation led to Chapter 12 bankruptcy, that amendment you just mentioned to 2005. Do you see other tweaks needed here that might help farmers adapting to the era of the 2020s?
Well, we got one of those tweaks in the fall of 2017, effective October 26, for plans filed on or after that date. And that was, it doesn't matter when the taxes are discharged, whether they are, incurred, whether they're incurred before you file bankruptcy in an attempt to straighten out your debt before you file, or as a result of a plan where you're downsizing. And so the taxes are incurred after you file. There was a problem before that. There was a case that went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court case. It wasn't favorably decided for farmers. And that's why the legislation came in to say, well, it doesn't matter when you file. IRS still gets deprioritized. That was a big development. There are some other, I would call them nitpicky things. Boy, if we had our crystal ball, our Christmas wish list, and could get everything that we wanted, yeah, there are a few things, but we got the big ones in 2005 on deprioritization and then in 2017 on the timing issue.
Roger, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you much.
That's Roger McCohen, professor of agricultural law and taxation at Washburn University's School of Law in Topeka, Kansas. He helped write current bankruptcy laws for farms. We talked to him about why Wisconsin, especially in the western half of the state, led the nation in farm bankruptcies in 2020 and how those bankruptcy protections work for farmers. We also heard from WPR reporter Hope Kerwin, who's been reporting on the story. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. Keely Baltina is with me to help raise the money that pays for the programs that you enjoy, programs like this one. Support from people like you is the biggest piece of the funding for WPR programs, and that's why your support is so important right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have 5 minutes left in this hour, and you are really coming through for us. We have just met our goal for the hour.
Great. Yeah, I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, just came in. What an incredible testament to how much you appreciate Central Time. That's really great. Do not let up on the momentum. Let's keep it rolling. Make your gift to support the programs you enjoy, programs like Central Time, where you listen every day.
WPR programs are listener powered. That means that your gift right now does make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I mean, just listen to that last segment, helping us understand what bankruptcy really means and what farmers are up against right now, and getting two different takes on how we can look at this and think about what's happening in our world and how that ripples past the farm and into everyone's lives. These kind of conversations are the ones that you can count on from Central Time.
WPR is listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes all the topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
It is $10 Tuesday. Ask for your WPR t-shirt when you give $10 a month or more today. Your Wisconsin pride will be on full display with this heather gray t-shirt. It features state symbols in the night sky. You can ask for yours with your gift of $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Take advantage of this first day special. Tomorrow it goes up to $12 a month.
Now let's admit it. Sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I spent money at a silent auction thinking I wouldn't win, and I did, and I won art that was honestly a little creepy.
1976 MGB. That hasn't run in 20 years. I regret it, and I see it every day in my garage, and I regret it even more.
From creepy art to lemon cars, we've all made questionable decisions about how we spend our money. So it might be time to make a few smart ones. You can start by supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR. So make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make your gift right now to make to support the programs that you count on. Central Time, Rob Ferret here with Keely Baltina. Your support today of WPR keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. Make your gift right now. $10 a month, $100 a month. The amount is up to you. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You love WPR because it's your source for intelligent radio, and there are costs associated with that quality. That's where you come in. Your support is so important.
Making a gift is quick and it is easy. You'll be finished in no time at all. Your contribution at any amount, say $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, that gift makes WPR possible.
If you ask a WPR member why they give, they'll probably tell you it just feels better to listen to WPR when you do give. It feels good to know that you're part of making something special happen.
Make your maybe first ever gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month and enjoy the excitement of supporting your Wisconsin Public Radio. It starts with your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've got 1 minute left in this hour of Central Time, and that is time for your support. You help us meet our goals every hour. WPR is listener powered. That's why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so crucial.
Grab the new WPR 2021 t-shirt, USA made, printed here in the state. You can give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Ask for your t-shirt. That $10 a month, that's today only. Tomorrow it goes up to $12 a month.
Yeah, Kate in Monona says, I'm donating $5 a month. On its own, it's not that much, but can you imagine if everyone chipped in $5? That adds up fast. Kate, I like your math there.
That's how it works. You give some and you give some and you give some and it adds up. Make your contribution now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and thank you.